Wouldn't it be great to have your own small business, right? And when you have that small business, don't you need that support of a big business? Well, let Verizon help champion your small business dream, whether you own a small business or you're scaling one, or maybe even just starting one from scratch. You need Verizon Small Business Days. That's right. From April 22nd through April 28th, you can partner with Verizon business experts for small business support. Paul, what does that mean? It means you can receive a free tech check with one-on-one meetings with a Verizon business expert. Plus, they'll give you personalized advice, solutions that are specific to your small business needs. And you know why? Because Verizon has your back. So don't miss out. Book an appointment today. Just call 1-800-483-4428 or go to verizon.com/small business. If you're like me, you can't get enough John Mulaney, and that's good, because during the Netflix is a Joke Festival, John Mulaney is presenting a brand new show called Everybody's in LA. It's 6 live episodes created and starring John that will stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. This is going to be an unconventional show with very big special guests. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in LA, debuting May 3rd, live at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, only on Netflix.
When was the last time I took a road trip? How many national parks could I hit in 2 weeks? What about hotels? Wait, hey, Erica, how much am I spending on travel?
When your questions about life turn into questions about money, there's Erica, the virtual financial assistant to help you spend, save, and plan smarter. Only from Bank of America. What would you like the power to do? Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Your chat may be recorded and monitored for quality assurance. Message and data rates and additional terms may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
The Pope drinks Guinness. Just how far is the ride from Rome to Spain? It is now time for How Did This Get Made? Last Looks.
Hit the theme!
Last Looks! Last Looks! Last Looks! Last Looks!
Buongiorno. My spicy D means it's me, Russell Crowe's Italian accent coach, Paul Scheer, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? Last Looks.
I want to do that the entire show. This is where you get to voice your issues on The Pope's Exorcist. Jason will join me to chat about old TV shows, and we will recommend some books and podcasts for you. I'll share an exclusive deleted scene from our Pope's Exorcist show, and as always, I will reveal next week's movie. But first things first, a shout out to Sean Fogle for that amazing opening theme song. We love these themes. We love them so much. Keep them coming. And not only do we want Last Look themes, but we are potentially looking for a brand new main theme song. So if you think you're up for the challenge and you've heard Jason and I discuss what we're looking for, send them to us at howdidthisgetmade@earwolf.com. You can post it on our Discord or just send it to us, whatever you want to do. And Jason and I will continue to judge these songs on air. Now, we just finished up our first half of our fall tour. It was amazing. Maine, Rhode Island, New Haven, Brooklyn, you all brought it in a major way. I loved playing those cities. And now we're doing it again. November 8th and 9th, we'll be in Chicago. November 10th and 11th, we will be in Minneapolis. Tickets are on sale right now at howdidthisgetmade.com. That's hdtgm.com. Let's get into it, people. Last week, we talked at length about The Pope's Exorcist, a movie that Discord user Anna Hootkins thinks could have had the tagline, "The Pope's Exorcist. You'll wonder what possessed them to make it." I like it, even better in the Italian accent. Well, we had questions about The Pope's Exorcist, and while we might have even missed a few things, here is your chance to set us straight. Fact check us, if you will. It is now time for corrections and
omissions. We got corrections. We got omissions. Since you guys fucked it all up.
Thank you, Josh Broilo, for that amazing theme song. Let's go to the Discord. Ooh, Kat. Starting off with Kat here. Italian here. She writes, This was a tough one. I might write another post solely about accents, but I wanted to point out that Father Crow is actually riding a Lambretta, not a Vespa. Yes, I have gotten this complaint a lot. Thank you, Kat, for calling it out. Lambretta is the first type of scooter in this style made in Italy by a company named Innocente. The man who designed the Lambretta had a falling out with the Innocente's owner, quit, and then took his design to another company called Piaggio, where they started producing Vespas. I strongly doubt Father Crow knew any of this and just did it for the dynamite looks. But of course, the character had to ride a scooter made by the company named Innocence. And the scooter talk continues. Sean McBee writes, I looked it up, and that scooter ride from Rome to Castile, Spain, was roughly 1,194 miles. He appears to have been riding a Lambretto L1 150 with a top speed of under 55 miles per hour. That's about a 22-hour ride, plus plenty of stops for gas, given that the scooter only has an 8-liter tank, about 2 gallons, and the absolute max range you would get on a full tank would be about 100 miles. So you're looking at making at least 12 gas stops. And in trying to figure out exactly which model he was driving, I found another link to the movie's filming in Ireland, and his scooter actually has a Guinness badge on it, and he included a picture. We can see it up close. Yes, Russell Crowe is an Italian man who loves Guinness. By the way, I do want to just get a date check. Was this model Lambretta even in production in the 80s? My gut says no. I know a lot of people have written in about this journey. This might be my favorite one. Someone also mentioned there was a ferry component to it. You had to take a ferry at a certain point. Liz brings up, so it got brought up in the show how the demon has a Rumpelstiltskin-like thing going on, where if you learn its name, you have power over him. But did anyone notice that right after Russell Crowe learns his name and says it out loud, that's when the demon gets especially powerful? Learning his name didn't help at all. Well, you know what, Liz? It's interesting because I think that that was a lower tier demon. I think it's sort of like, that's like if you're playing chess, those are your pawn demons. And he was dealing with like a queen demon. Anyway, that's my theory. I'm sticking to it. Kenji writes, I loved the card at the end of the movie that said, Father Gabriel Amroth continued to serve the afflicted until his death in Rome in 2016 and wrote many books. And the payoff line, books are good. Now, I will say this. We did touch upon this very briefly. Jason and June didn't seem to understand why everyone kept on saying the books are good. If I remember correctly, I might have told them it was because Russell Crowe says his books are good. But here, take a listen.
I do feel like we didn't discuss that moment at the end and the end credits where we got the book plugs.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. It was just so very strange.
Is this an adaptation of one of the father's books?
I'm assuming.
Well, he does say in the beginning
that real case.
He does say in the beginning that they wrote some books about me, and you know he's a little on the down low about it. But yeah, and the books are good. I thought this is like a sly. Like I wanted
Paul,
Russell Crowe.
The truth is, they didn't write books about him. Didn't he write those books
about
himself?
I think he's the author.
Yeah, he wrote them himself. They're good.
I'm sorry, Paul. Have you read the books? Anybody read these books? They're good.
They're good. They're good.
Wait, for real?
Yeah, they're good. They're good.
They're so fun. They're so good. Wow.
They're just good. They're so good.
Good.
All right. Well, we'll have to. Well, let's go
but
figure it out.
Like I guess least, I do want to read the books
now.
Yeah,
at least a handful of people in our audience read these books for real.
There we go. I
Get
mean, look
out of here.
All right, some clarity, maybe. By the way, I will say this. People are loving our Russell Crowe Lambretta shirt that we made. It is just him riding that Lambretta, and it says exercise underneath it. It's amazing. Available at TeePublic right now. TeePublic.com/stores/HDTGM. Now let's go to the phones. Let's hear from Jason in Seattle.
I just got to say, I think for the sequel, we got to go back to that line about Father Crowe tells the young priest that the young priest needs to learn jokes because the devil hates jokes. right off the bat. As soon as I heard that, I thought, okay, the sequel has to bring in a stand-up comedian. So everyone hated that young priest anyway. He was a pervert. He needed to be wiped out anyway. Let's just say he got killed in between the first movie and the sequel. And Father Crowe needs to bring in Kevin Hart as his sidekick. I'm just saying, Russell Crowe with Kevin Hart as a stand-up comedian to piss off the devil, you can't miss. All right, thanks for taking my call.
Jason, I love this idea, but you know what? We got to bring an 80s comic in. What if, like, he brings in Emo Phillips? That would be a great, like, 80s comedian. Or maybe, like, Judy Tenuta. I know they're married. I should go outward a little bit more. But, you know, Richard Belzer. That would be great. A real 80s, you know, big vest kind of wearing Paula Poundstone in there. You know, hey, demon. You know, I would love to see. Yep, you guys got a little taste of my Paula Poundstone impression. I would like to see that. Jason, good call. Pair Russell Crowe up with a 80s stand-up comic. Next up, John from Chicago.
Hey, Paul. I'm calling to let you know, I don't know if you know this, but the movie studio, they wanted to promote this movie, so they decided to do a partnership with the World Wrestling Entertainment, WWE, at their WrestleMania this past year. It was a match that was also advertised as a Hell in a Cell match between then WWE wrestler Edge and Finn Balor. And before the match started, a video played with Russell Crowe on there talking about good and evil, heaven and hell, just like going on the spiel. It was like really weird. And then during the match, you know, the lights were kind of down and they had like, you know, the Pope's exorcist, like the name everywhere around the ring and the red lights. It was just like really strange to use them to advertise a partnership between the Pope's Exorcist movie and World Wrestling Entertainment. And then also going off something that Jason mentioned, he was talking about the wrestler and Mickey Rourke and the director of the wrestler trying to get the glasses away from Mickey Rourke on the movie Aronofsky, and he kept on saying like that Mickey Rourke, you know, he won his Oscar. Mickey Rourke didn't win an Oscar for The Wrestler, unfortunately. He was nominated, but he didn't win. All right, take care. Love you. I love the show. Bye.
Oh, do I remember it? I was there. Yes, I was there for this moment. And you just unlocked a memory that has been deep down inside of me. Yes, it was so weird when this actually happened. You didn't know what was going on because there's so many video moments in the actual show. I'm like, what? Is this like, is Russell Crowe going to come out and wrestle now? Because it's not, look, you see celebrities coming in to WrestleMania, being a part of the show. And I thought there was a moment. First of all, I had no idea what they were advertising. It looked shitty. But then when I saw Russell Crowe, I was like, whoa, I'm engaged. Get him in the ring, get him like in his friar's frock, and let's go for it. But that sadly did not happen. Russell, show your face at WrestleMania. And thank you, John, for Chicago, for reminding us that Mickey Rourke did not win an Oscar for The Wrestler. But maybe he should have, but maybe he shouldn't have. I don't know. Back to the Discord. Margarita writes, I'm an Italian. Well, she doesn't say that, but I'm putting it contextually. Margarita is Italian. I have to admit, I was impressed at the beginning by how good Father Crowe's accent was. Sure, he was maybe mumbling half of the words, but he didn't have a heavy accent. And at least this time, I didn't have to read English subtitles to understand what was going on. Now, all of that came crashing down the minute he started to speak English. While his Italian was fairly flat or monotone, his English was heavy on the accent and sounded quite cartoonish to me. It is true that some of us have thicker accents, but usually that is partially reflected in the way that we speak Italian. So the difference between the way he spoke the two was actually even more jarring. Now, I'll tell you, as someone who is Italian, grew up Italian, it's always interesting to hear that accent come out. I went back home to Long Island, and I was in this area I grew up in, Central Islip, and I was in the 7-Eleven. Standing in front of me is this guy in camo pants, a knife at his side. And he goes, these fucking stunads who run the government. And I was like, I would never expect that out there, too. So I wonder if there's like a performative nature to some people. I feel like in Long Island, where I grew up around a lot of Italian people, they really love to perform their accented Italian. They wouldn't actually speak like that in real life. But Italian, they are Italian, and they put it on. So I don't know. Maybe it's this thing of he did the reverse version of that. He's an Italian who puts on more of an accent in English. I think it just comes down to, even though you're Italian, Margarita, you don't know what you're talking about. All right, Slashwin writes, I did not realize that while watching the movie, the titular Pope in The Pope's Exorcist was played by legendary actor Franco Nero, our very own golden-haired space Jesus from The Visitor. Oh, yes, I think we mentioned it in the show. Grumblebottom adds, it speaks to how nutballs and banana pants this movie is that our host never mentioned the great Franco Nero as the Pope. He was more than just blonde Jesus in The Visitor. He was also in Force 10 from Navarone with Harrison Ford, a great movie, people. I just bought that on Blu-ray. And Die Hard 2, yes, great in that as well. And he was the original Django. Franco Nero rules. Justice for Franco Nero. I love Franco Nero. Highly recommend going deep into his filmography. You will not be disappointed at all. A really, really fun, great actor. Also speaks to like the knowledge that this movie is like a low-budget, fun, crazy fest. Walker Florida writes, the one thing I'm surprised that no one mentioned is that it's very dangerous to stay in a house that is slowly filling with flammable gas. If they just got the fuck out of there after the construction crew told them that it was too dangerous to be in that house to work, let alone live, everyone would have been fine. How does that mother not think we've got a gas leak that is blowing up construction workers? My son is having seizures and being a little freak. Maybe this old ass house is unsafe for obvious and not supernatural reasons. Well, the Pope's robotic hobo chimes in to add, in fact, carbon monoxide has been found to be the culprit in several ghost sightings. The first recorded case dates back to 1912, when one family reported hearing voices and footsteps, seeing apparitions, and feeling a haunting presence, only to discover the source was a faulty furnace that had been leaking poisonous gas. Wow. Did not know. Well, now, maybe that's like a cool thing the kids want to do. Turn on that gas and start seeing my ghosts. I love to see those ghosts. I don't know if we didn't talk about it as much as I don't think they could have left the house at that point. But yes, they couldn't have left that house because they didn't have any money. And that's why it was established. The mom needed to sell this Abbey because the husband just straight up died and left them with it. So you know what, Walker, Florida, go stay in your fancy hotels. This family couldn't afford it. Johnny Unusual writes, the mom says, this Abbey is all your father left us. I need to know what happened. I get not having much, but how do you end up only with an Abbey in a foreign country? I mean, this feels like a Homer Simpson-esque foolhardy venture. Yeah, right? I didn't think about that. Like, only. How did he get it? Gambling debt? Like, remember when Brett Ratner had to do those commercials for New York Film Academy because he lost, like, a poker deal? Maybe this guy won one in a poker deal. Who knows? I like it. I don't need to know much answers. Like, that's what I feel like movies kind of fuck up on. Don't give me so much backstory. I get it. You got an Abbey. Deal with it. I'm in. So I don't fault the movie for not going into greater detail. Anyway, so many great corrections and omissions this week. But I think there's one clear winner. Yes, Franco Nero is amazing, but that's not good enough. Truly, the one person who brings it all together is the great Sean McBee for telling us everything we wanted to know about that trip on a Lambretta and finding the cultural inaccuracy of the Guinness on the Italian bike. But you know what? Honestly, Italians can love Guinness, so who am I to judge? Anyway, that's neither here nor there, but Sean McBee, you are a winner, and you get this amazing song from Case Silva. Hit it!
You win, are you proud? Think you'll stand out from the rest of the crowd, but
thank you, Case, for that song. And remember, if you want to submit an alt movie tagline or chime in with your own thoughts about the latest episode, hit up the Discord at discord.gg/hdtgm or call us at 619-PAUL-ASK. All right, stick around after the break. Jason will join me for a Just Chat. We'll be right back. Here's the thing, people. Walmart Plus is the membership that saves you time and money on the stuff you'd expect, but also on the stuff you don't. Let me explain. Did you know with your Walmart Plus membership, you can save money on gas? Yeah. Save gas while you drive the kiddos to soccer practice, plus visit your in-laws, plus venture into the wilderness, plus wherever you want to go. Because Walmart Plus also saves you time and money with free delivery, perfect for ordering new remote batteries or coffee when somebody finishes it without telling you. And then, you know, eat all your snacks that you have stored in the back of that pantry for movie night. How dare they? Plus, you can actually even save on the actual movies with a Paramount Plus subscription. Stream Top Gun Maverick, plus Mean Girls, plus Jack Reacher, plus so much more, because savings is what this whole Walmart Plus membership is all about anyways. Members save on gas, plus free delivery, plus Paramount Plus, plus so much more. Start a free 30-day trial at www.walmartplus.com. See Walmart Plus terms and conditions, $35 order minimum, Paramount Plus Essential Plan only, separate registration required. I recently went to the Telluride Comedy Festival, and I was sick and tired of staying in the same kind of cookie-cutter places, and I went on Airbnb, and I found a perfect spot for me and the family. We had an amazing time because we felt like home. Then I realized, wait a second, what if I could give that feeling to someone else? Yes! That's the best part. When you're away, your home could be an Airbnb. That's right. Many people host on Airbnb, but there are people who have never thought about it or didn't even realize that their space could be an Airbnb. Hosting can easily fit into your lifestyle, and you can make someone feel great and make a little bit of money too, because we all need a little bit of money. And maybe your talent or your gift to the world is having a killer place. So if you have a home, but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. Hey, everybody. Just wanted to give you a quick heads up here. There's something we should all be doing. It's going to improve your life, make every day a little bit better, and that is eat more Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. Yes, think about it. All the gurus, all the coaches out there, they've never said the words, eat more Reese's. I mean, the combination of sweet chocolate and salty peanut butter. I mean, this is something that brings other people and ourselves joy. That's why there's two in a pack. Shop Reese's Peanut Butter Cups now at a store near you, found wherever candy is sold, and often in my pantry, because I love these. All right, people. You probably noticed that every Monday we release an old school episode into the stream. And guess what? This week we did it up with the Vampire's Kiss. Hayes Davenport joined us from the first Earwolf Podcast Festival. I think first and last, maybe. Or maybe it was the first and second to last. Either way, that was a fun little event. And we loved doing that episode there. People came in costume. I believe Hayes came in costume. Anyway, next week, we will be releasing Maximum Overdrive with Andy Daly to close out our Halloween season. So stay tuned for that. And every Monday, classic episodes are always going to be dropped. Just a reminder, people, if you want to see some of these live shows, and I got to say that Vampire's Kiss show is a perfect example of weird stuff happening that you had to be there for. Make sure you head out to see How Did This Get Made on tour in Minneapolis and Chicago in November, hdtgm.com. And it will be a lot of fun. I'm just so excited to go back out on the road. And as a matter of fact, I'm so excited to sit here and chat with Jason just for a little bit. So, Surreal Fred on Instagram, play us in.
What's up, jerks? It's time for Just Chat with Paul Scheer and Jason Mantzoukas.
So, Jason, yep. A couple weeks ago, you and I were talking about just things that live in our mind, things that we haven't quite been able to place. And you were describing this movie that you remember, and you were like, here is the
archetype. Oh, right, because we were talking about 7 Minutes in Heaven.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
I remember.
And you were, and you were trying to describe this movie that you have been looking for. I tried to Google some of it. So a lot of people have weighed in. But there has been one thing that kept on coming back up. And a lot of people said it, so I'm not going to credit it to just one person, but the movie that people believe you are thinking about, and I think they might be wrong, is Stealing Home with Mark Harmon and Jodie Foster.
Ooh, hold on. The one I remember, it's like a summer, it's a summer romance.
Well, this, so let me.
Ooh, this might be
it. All right, so here we go. It says, ooh. I think he was conflating Knox Overstreet, Josh Charles, and Dead Poets Society with Alan Appleby, Jonathan Silverman, and Stealing Home. They've got the same energy. So that's,
yeah.
Okay.
This is it. Wait a second.
We won't get in trouble.
You never forget the first girl who steals your heart.
Wait a minute.
This is it.
It is. Wow. Wow. I shouldn't have doubted it.
Of course, it's a movie about, like, kid heartbreak.
Well,
of course, the movie that left some fingerprint on my heart is about kid heartbreak. Go ahead.
Well, this is so interesting because I loved this movie as well when I was a kid. I haven't watched it in a long time. Yes, I remember this movie because this also has similarities to, I mean, to 7 Minutes in Heaven. There's like there's an energy here.
These are teen-based roms that are not coms.
Yes.
You know what I mean? These are not like the John Hughes movies had romance in them, but they were comedies.
Yes.
These are, they have light moments, but these are romance stories. These are stories about like young people trying to figure out how to be in love. And when I tell you, that is all I cared about
I
was a
all
kid.
All I
this
wanted
age
to watch.
How can I figure out how to be in love? And here I am, 50 years old, still have no idea.
Well, that's why we are going to set you up with Taylor Swift. When she breaks up with Travis Kelce, we are going to get you in there and we're going to put some pressure on it. Maybe that pressure will reveal a diamond. Jason, now you also...
That is incredible. Right. Great work, everybody who sourced that. I'm going to watch it.
Our How Did This Get Made sleuths were out. And look, they all came in pretty heavy. Now, the other one that you talked about this idea of kids solving crimes, like gritty crimes.
The undercover gang, the Michael Perry one is the one I was talking about, right? I know it's not Michael Perry, but that's what I, that's how I have tried to find it because I remembered that specific.
Now, Scott, do we have a call about this?
Yes, we do. Let's go to the phones.
Hey, Paul, this is Michael the Nerd from Chicago, and this is calling in response.
Can you
guys
pause? Okay, so Michael the Nerd, if people don't remember, he's the one that was giving us all the help about Morbius,
yes,
right?
I believe
so. He was our Morbius expert?
Yes, I believe that
He was the Morgan of Dungeons & Dragons.
I mean, well, now people don't even know about Morgan yet.
Oh, has that not come out?
No.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. We haven't even touched Morgan yet.
Get fucking ready.
All right, here we go. Listen to the rest of the Nerd.
And this is calling in response to you guys asking about TV shows. I believe the TV show you're talking about with Matthew Perry, where there's a light that shows both good and bad, and you can go to heaven or hell, is called Second Chance, which ran for one season first year of Fox, and halfway through got renamed Boys Will Be Boys, and the supernatural part was dropped. And the TV show that Jason was talking about, where a gang goes and helps the police, I believe is called The Renegades, which was
that is
on
right.
for,
what?
I think, 1 year back in like
that
1993.
That is right.
And
wow. I'm looking at a
Swayze.
Picture.
All right. Thanks,
wow.
guys.
Wow. Wait a second. That's Patrick Swayze?
Wow. Whoa.
Wait a minute. Oh, my God. Okay. So this works so well because doesn't Patrick Swayze kind of look like a Michael Perry type?
Yes, you're totally right. I'm looking at this now. This Renegades poster is amazing.
This show, I was obsessed with this show. They had like a cool hangout. I gotta find this.
Oh yeah,
I gotta find
well,
this.
This is
so.
Yeah.
If anybody has a way for me to watch this,
oh here we go.
Wait, what is happening?
We're gonna,
are we watching it
we're
right
gonna,
now?
Let's. We have it.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yes. Oh my God, I remember all of this.
Wow. This is great. Just people walking like a Michael Jackson video. Patrick Swayze is putting on his punching glove.
I mean, that could be Michael Perry.
Oh,
Patrick Swayze as Bandit.
Wow.
Holy shit. Bandit.
This guy's just punching a punching bag. Randy Brooks
as Eagle.
Wow.
Holy fuck.
Paul Mones
as JT.
Wow.
Tracy Scoggins as Tracy.
Wow. This is an amazing open.
Wait, who's this guy's the looks of the operation? He's the face man. Robert Thaler.
As Dancer.
Oh, Dancer. I remember that character. Holy shit. Brian Tachi as Dragon.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Fausto Barra as Gaucho.
This is...
This show. Give me this show immediately.
I love this. Wow, our audience is great.
Can you pause for a second? I just want people to know there's still a minute left in this theme
song. And this theme song is just people looking cool. It's like
every character's been introduced. There's nothing to this.
Man, oh man. That's like when we didn't put it in the show, but we aired the trailer to Booker, which is a spinoff of 21 Jump Street at one of our shows. And the Richard Grieco movie. And that was like a minute and a half long theme song that was like, wow, it's still
The initial Magnum PI theme song is over 2 minutes long, I believe, and is absolutely stone cold crazy.
Well, okay, now you see, we found it right away. We found both of these things right away, but some other people thought that...
That was incredible.
That was amazing.
You just fully blew my mind.
Oh, I'm going to show you what another...
That it was Patrick Swayze is even crazier to me. I was just assuming it's... Obviously, it's not Michael Perry because I never found it, but I was like, it's got to be some Michael Perry... You know, look alike, but instead it's even better. It's Swayze.
All right. What's this? This is what other people thought you were referencing. I'm not going to even tell you what this is. A show called Powerhouse. Check it out.
Powerhouse! Power's a thing that we're talking about. It's always been in. You've got to let it come out. It's better than anything that money can buy. We all have.
Whoa.
Powerhouse, deep down inside. Powerhouse, coming through. Powerhouse, think of what you can do. You can't hold still, you keep on working until the powerhouse is, the powerhouse is, the powerhouse is.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Hi there, this is Brenda Gaines. Hey, wait a minute, where are you going? Don't move an inch. The Powerhouse Gang will be right back.
Okay, so we just watched a minute-long open, an animated open.
That was incredible, like, on a theme song and animation level. That, to me, felt like original Sesame Street.
Yes.
Or Electric Company.
And this is a PBS show with live actors.
It is. That's what it feels like. It feels like a kid. This is a children's show.
Right. And so that's why I think that people thought that maybe Powerhouse.
I get it. Because I said kids solving mysteries, right. And this is that. This is the kind of PBS show that, like, Ben Affleck, when he was a kid, was on the PBS, the Boston PBS show about the boat. What was that called? I can't remember.
I believe you're talking about The Voyage of the Mimi.
Whoa. Thank you.
Watch that one in elementary school.
Thank you. Voyage of the Mimi was a local PBS, WGBH, which is our... It's one of their shows. So it was shot in Boston, obviously.
Wow. This is...
Tiny Ben Affleck on it.
I mean, this is a wild... I mean...
Scott, will you look up the theme to Whiz Kids?
Oh, Whiz Kids,
Did you watch Whiz Kids?
Oh, yes. I remember Whiz Kids. I was going to say, if you want to see the theme to the Ben Affleck show, here, we got this, too.
Oh, yeah, sure. Voyage of the Mimi. Yes, this one I know. This and Zoom.
Oh, Zoom, I remember, yeah.
That's another WGBH show. Mm-hmm.
The Voyage of the Mimi. Jerry O'Connell was in one of these PBS shows, too.
Oh, really?
Episode 1, All Aboard.
No theme song, nothing, just some instrumental music, and then it starts.
Wow. That's it. A kid being let off at a dock.
Sir, could you please show me where the Mimi is docked?
Yeah, right on down the dock down there, son.
Amazing. Okay?
By the way, this looks like it was shot like my home videos. Like, this is like my...
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Do you think you and I could get Ben Affleck to do an episode Watch Along With Us podcast about Voyage of the Mimi?
Here's the thing. Ben Affleck came to one of our How Did This Get Made shows.
He did?
Yeah, you don't remember that?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. At Largo. Yes, I do remember that.
And I felt like, and I am a fan, I felt like he was looking at us going... you guys have talked shit on me in the show. Like,
I also felt like he had no idea what he was coming to see.
No,
like
way.
He was not. In other words, no, he wasn't coming as a fan.
No, I felt, you know, like I mean? He was brought.
I think he came with someone.
He did come with somebody, and I think it was maybe a date situation. This is years ago. Maybe a date. I don't know. Maybe just like, hey, I'm going to come see this comedy show, and then watched us dissect a movie that he probably had not seen. He was nice. He was very nice. Came backstage. Very nice.
Oh, totally. I remember him being very
but
nice.
I
and
felt
brief.
Like,
it was like a brief interaction.
But he came out and drank with us or hung out in the bar.
I don't think I was there. Was
I think
there
you were,
that?
But it was also like, oh, okay. I also felt like we weren't trying to get in his space. Like, we were like, you do your thing. Yeah, and he was within our arm's reach, but we weren't like, you know, I think that was the right way to handle it. But again, I would love, like, the offer's out there.
And the challenge is up, guys. If you can get a more famous date to a live How Did This Get Made show, we'll pay for your ticket.
By the way, why not? Why not just try to, we will.
Bring a celebrity date on a, bring a celebrity on a first date to How Did This Get Made, we'll pay for your
ticket. And we will also arrange for your wedding if it works out.
If it works out.
And if you get divorced within 10 years, we get our money back. And that's, it's a very, yeah,
it.
It's a very big, you know, but we don't want you, we don't want to be taken
oh,
for
you,
suckers.
You know what? No, not at all. Because we're, don't fucking try and play
no,
us.
No, don't try to play us.
This is real.
We're into love. We've talked about this multiple times in the show.
And we don't want your bullshit proposals and nonsense during our shows.
Yes.
But if you bring a celebrity, a celebrity bigger than Ben Affleck, and you end up getting married, we will pay for the wedding.
And I look, happy to do it. How Did This Get Made is sponsored by Squarespace. That's right. Squarespace is the all-in-one platform for entrepreneurs to stand out and succeed online. With Squarespace, it's easy to create a beautiful website all on your terms. Now, let me tell you this. Now they have this Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system where you can just drag and drop. It's so easy. It's so fun. Plus, they have this asset library so you can merge all your files from one central hub. I love it so much. Now, let me tell you. I talk about their customer support. I had an issue. Something went wrong. And not only did they get back to me in a timely fashion, but they solved my problem. They were attentive. And I have to say, regardless of anything else, sometimes the best way to judge a company is by their customer service, and Squarespace passed the Paul Scheer test. All right, so you could check out my website with a new feature. That's right. If you bought my book, you can sign up for that and you can get videos and pictures and all this kind of cool stuff. I built that on Squarespace. Check it all out. I love Squarespace. You will too. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/bonkers to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Today's episode is brought to you by Cap'n Crunch. Who said the kids get to have all the breakfast fun time? Break away from the ordinary with Cap'n Crunch and bring back the spirit of adventure to your mornings. Everyday life can be stressful, but a tasty bowl of Cap'n Crunch is an escape from morning monotony. Enjoy the bold flavors like original Cap'n Crunch, Crunch Berries, Oops All Berries, and Peanut Butter. Plus, the crunch you love is now available in cinnamon, and it is delicious. Even in a sea of milk, the crunch of Cap'n Crunch is epic. Yes. My family is all in on the cinnamon Cap'n Crunch. I didn't think you could make it better, but they did. I love my Cap'n Crunch, and now I love sharing it with my kids. Join the crew for your next breakfast time crunch venture. Get Cap'n Crunch's new cinnamon crunch now at a retailer near you, and learn more at cap'ncrunch.com. Here's something that we've known since the dawn of bread. Everything is better sliced. Let me explain. Slice a pineapple, you get a blast of fresh fruit. Slice some jeans, get some jorts. That's why the new Captain Morgan Sliced went all in on four bold, deliciously sliced cocktail-style flavors, including pineapple daiquiri, strawberry margarita, mango Mai Tai, and passion fruit hurricane. Try the new Captain Morgan Sliced because sliced is better. Visit CaptainMorgan.com to find sliced near you. Does not contain real fruit or juice. Captain Morgan Sliced, premium flavored malt beverage with natural flavor and certified color. Captain Morgan and Co. Plainfield, Illinois. Please drink responsibly. 21 plus. Now, Jason, we are talking about a lot of stuff. I know that we're in this weird zone where we're not supposed to plug our own stuff, but I do think, obviously, these are all fine, what we're talking about.
I was just going to say, these are lost to time shows, because it's so funny. I was just about to say that we had talked some weeks back about Sledgehammer.
Oh, yes.
The David Rashi
show.
Sledgehammer. And I found, like, I don't know, 6 hours of it on a YouTube.
I used to have it on a Laserdisc.
Oh, amazing.
Yes, I had my sledgehammer.
Are you so heartbroken? I'm sad you don't have your Laserdisc collection.
You know,
as a person
yes.
who compulsively collects things, it breaks my heart.
I made a couple of choices in my life, and a lot of that was due to the size of the apartments that I lived in.
Of course.
That got rid of a lot of physical media that I truly, truly loved. I kept a handful of it. But man, those laser discs, I would never pop one in, but it would just be nice to have the machine. When I went over to Quentin Tarantino's house, not to brag, for Unspooled, what I found so amazing about his house, was just the amount of, physical media players. And we had a very long conversation about the right type of VCR to buy. It was really interesting. I appreciated that. I appreciated that, like, his house was just loaded with so many interesting things, but it was all to watch and see. And, you know, it's like,
yeah. And be able to watch the stuff he wants to
and
watch,
not be at the, know? And not to be at the discretion of whoever picks these things up or gets rid of them. And
or whoever owns the license on that thing, whoever, you know, whether they're going to make it available or not, or whether they're going to make it available in a format that works for you or that is as high, you know, quality as what you want.
Well, this is why I want to talk about one thing here. And again, we're going to be a little flexible on these strike rules. And I'll say this, so excited, so happy that Moonlighting is coming out to stream. Finally, Moonlighting.
So, I cannot
wait.
I've been watching it in a TV rip that someone made available to me because they heard me talking on the podcast about wanting to watch it. And was like, here you go. It's here. So,
wow.
And I've been watching it. But it's tough to watch because it's a really very shitty copy. So I'm beyond excited.
Well, I will go one step further. Again, I think this falls under the strike rules. Okay. I, for the first time ever, saw the Talking Heads Stop Making Sense.
Jonathan Demme movie?
Yes. Yeah. And holy shit, an experience that was. It was absolutely amazing. People were dancing in the theater. The Talking Heads were there. But I will say that the 4K remastering of that really just amps everything up. And that to me is like,
especially for theatrical.
Yes.
That must have been gorgeous.
And that's why I'm excited about this Moonlighting. And, you know, maybe if the strike is over, we should have a Moonlighting one of these minis.
A last look about Moonlighting.
Where we just sit and we watched one and we could chat about it. I'd be very excited.
I would love to talk. After the strike, we'll talk about it.
All right, great.
I don't want to be so positively driving people to something that we should not
100%. And I think we did it with respect. We didn't say where it's streaming, but it's not even out yet. So you can't even watch it. We're talking about we're talking about the idea that it will eventually be coming.
And when you hear this, the strikes may be over anyway. So
we don't know.
See.
We're in a vacuum. But Jason, this is great. We found I now want to kind of continue
Do you remember the person mentioned your show?
Yes.
The show that the Matthew Perry show. I don't know what that is.
I went and found it. We did a little Twitch stream about it where we watched Heaven and Hell. We found all that. And it was really, it was great. It was very fulfilling. You could watch these episodes. Oh, you know what I should do for you, though? You're going to first think, I think I know what this is, but I don't think you do. This is a show that I stumbled across and I have now been obsessed with. And here we go.
Mr. Dennis Escorts, wherever you want to go, we want to go with you.
Okay, so that little thing that you just heard there,
holy shit,
was a Ted Knight sitcom called The Ted Knight Show, where he is the head of an escort service.
Yes, right?
Yes.
That seems to be what it is.
It is a show where he is, he's running a sex worker ring. I mean, and he himself is also a sex worker.
He also seems to be available.
Yes.
To hire to attend the opera or whatever.
The premise of the show is like he is an uptight guy and his brother.
He's like a Felix Unger?
Yes. And his brother dies and his brother's like, you have to now take over my sex workers. And not only does he take over running it, but seems to have to also be a sex worker.
This is an era where everybody, see, in pop culture, there was a real, there was a group of, I guess, reluctant pimp
narratives. Yes.
Risky business, Dr. Detroit. This apparently, like, reluctant pimp was a style of movie or TV show that somehow seemed viable. It's fucked up and crazy.
And here we go. It was written by Lowell Gantz, who did Night Shift, Splash, Spies Like Us, Gung Ho, Vibes, Parenthood, City Slickers, Mr. Saturday Night, A League of Their Own.
Lowell Gantz and Babalu Mandel wrote everything in this era.
And this is wild that it was, and they did.
And it's so funny, like, it's so aping the Mary Tyler Moore theme song as well.
Yes.
In a way, because this is between Mary Tyler Moore and, what's it called? That we talked about, but Close for Comfort.
Well, okay.
This show is in between those.
May I read you episode 5, Sweet 16? When a mature-looking young woman named Victoria Diamond approaches the Mr. Dennis escort service seeking an escort to a party, Roger thinks that he'll be escorting her, will be a good chance for Winston to prove he can make it in the escort service business. But Victoria insists that Roger escort her, and when Roger arrives with her at the party, he discovers that she is only 16 years old and that this is a sweet 16 party and that she is using him to make her boyfriend Cliff jealous.
He is immediately arrested, and has to spend the rest of the remaining episodes going door to door and telling people that he lives in their neighborhood. This is fucking crazy.
And in episode 2, Grizzella signs a 30-year contract to work for his sleazy competitor.
This is documenting the most predatory world. I mean, this is a sitcom about human trafficking, essentially.
Oh, my God. I love
this. This is like if you were like, I'm pitching a TV adaptation of Sound of Freedom, and it's a sitcom.
And this is a...
Caviezel's in.
Oh, my God.
I could watch this shit forever.
All I want to do sometimes is just be like...
I wish there was, a streaming service or a YouTube channel, and there probably is, that just did this stuff, that just put up pilots and themes that are lost to time.
Yeah, it's like, oh,
you know, not the ones we know.
8 episodes of a show. Like, I never understand why we can't embrace failure like that. It's like, not failure, but it's like, that's the more interesting thing.
Failure.
Yeah, it's like, this did not work.
That's, I mean, I feel like that's the, people are still, Americans especially, are so unwilling to participate in the narrative that from failure comes growth. You know, it needs to be just like victory at all costs.
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're protagonists in a Fast and Furious. Nobody loses a fight.
Well, and I think that I feel like there was this time. It's interesting because like the 80s, there's this moment where I feel like no one was minding the mint. It was sort of like, in this show, it's just a show about a sheriff, but she's a woman. People are like, good. Let's go. We got it. That's it.
We got it.
Like,
it's enough.
That's enough. It's enough for us. And the one I was talking to Molly about is like, he's the mayor, but black. Good. On the air. Let's go. It's like they were very like, basic.
Super. And because, again, and you sometimes forget, they are situational comedies.
Yes.
That's it. The situation is the comedy, and that's what it's supposed to be. That's it.
And by the way, she's the sheriff, that show I referenced with Suzanne Summers.
Sure.
A popular show, a show that did actually work. And I think it just goes to show you there's so much energy and deliberation over, are these characters interesting? It's like, just put them somewhere, and no one's going to ultimately care. Like, if the characters are okay... Yeah. It doesn't matter. Like you get past this, you get past the premise and you're in. And it's just like, just go. Like, you know, it's like, oh my God.
Oh man, I can't wait till the union calls you to be like, you're in trouble, Paul. We heard you talking about She's the Sheriff.
Oh my God. This is the best. This is a great day. Jason. Oh,
this is a great day.
What a great day. We did it.
Couldn't have been better said. Before we go, can I throw out a couple plugs just because why not? Because here's the thing, in this period of not plugging content that we're involved in or that is part of any of the Struck companies, I'd like to just throw some love to some people that might benefit from you spending your money or putting your attention elsewhere. For example, Maria Bamford's new book, Sure, I'll Join Your Cult, is fantastic, especially as an audiobook.
Oh, holy I gotta cow. Get that. Okay, that's...
Holy cow. Dynamite stuff. Okay, and then another podcast that...
Can I talk about a book, too, that if we're talking about books?
Oh, yeah, please, go ahead.
I'm reading the Andre Agassi book while I'm listening to it.
Oh, yeah.
It's awesome, but cool. It's, like, wow, blowing my mind. But I just read Reggie's book, Reggie Watts's new book.
Watts? Oh,
and
cool.
And it's a great book. It's just...
I didn't know he had a book.
Oh, yeah, it's called Great Falls, Montana. Great Falls, MT. And it's great. It's just about him growing up. It's Reggie. It's great. It's really, really
fun.
That's
awesome. Ooh, cool. Okay, great. I will also throw in another book / podcast recommendation, which is the absolutely phenomenal comedian Joe Firestone has out a book called Murder on Sex Island.
What?
That she has also released as a podcast, where she just essentially, similar to an audiobook, reads each episode of the podcast is another 2 or 3 chapters of the book. So the podcast is up, but...
And this is a Lula Van Horn mystery, right?
It's a Lula Van Horn mystery about a woman who puts on a wig to become a detective and goes to a Love Island, Sex Island type reality show to solve a murder. It's maybe one of the most bananas and hilarious. I was crying, laughing, listening to it the other night doing a jigsaw puzzle. It is so, so funny listening to it. I also bought the book. Great. Forgive me, Joe Firestone, if I'm misrepresenting
no,
this.
No, it's murder.
I think she might be self-publishing it.
It looks like it. It looks like it's self-published.
So support Joe Firestone. Support this book, Murder on Sex Island. It's available as a podcast, but also as a
book. It's sold by Amazon. You can order it on a Kindle for $2.99. You can get the paperback for $15.99.
And if you haven't
Book Baby is publishing it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Great.
If you haven't watched Joe Firestone's special that she released during the pandemic, where she features all of the older adults who she's been teaching in a stand-up comedy workshop, and it features them doing comedy, boy, that I don't know where it is, but it's out there. Track it down. It's phenomenal. I will also throw in a plug for a podcast that St. Clair and I did that I think you've also done too, which is Amy Poehler's podcast.
Yes, Say More, ?
Thank you.
With Dr. Sheila. Or sorry, Say More with Dr. Sheila.
Yes, that's it. It's a brand new podcast. It's up now. It's well worth digging in on. It's got great people on it. Very funny.
Basically, like what the premise is if you like shows like I like with like these couples therapy and stuff like that, it is Amy doing a character like this relationship counselor. People come. You guys are so funny. You and St. Clair are so funny. And June and I did one that was I thought was really fun.
I haven't listened to that
yet.
Oh,
it's fun.
Is it out already?
Yes, it came out. Yeah, last
great.
Week. Great.
Good. Yes. Okay, great.
All right. Great talking.
Just because you mentioning Dr. Sheila reminded me that someone had... Maybe it was Avril or somebody from the fans had recommended the movie Last of Sheila when I
me.
Was it was you.
I,
oh, okay. It was
yes.
You.
Did you watch it?
Okay, great. Phenomenal.
Right?
Phenomenal.
Wow.
Loved it.
So
loved all of it.
Fun.
Thought it was fantastic.
Yes.
I'll also give a shout out to the new Mary Latimer album. Is just absolutely stunningly beautiful. And if you can find, I don't know. Can we find out if and take them out if I shouldn't promote these two things?
Mm-hmm. Go for it.
But there is a 4-episode documentary about the making of RoboCop
Whoa.
Called RoboDoc that is like 6 hours of the making of
Whoa,
RoboCop. It's incredible.
I am so down. And by the way, I'm working with somebody who has been in RoboCop. And every day we get to talk about Paul McCrane.
Ooh, what is it?
Paul McCrane was also on ER. Great character actor.
I know who it is.
I have not asked him about RoboCop, and I should.
Oh, okay. What's the job?
Well, we are working on this charity event that I think has already passed at this point.
Wonderful.
All right, Jason.
Thanks,
we'll
everybody.
See you next time. Bye for now.
Yeah.
Now that we got the Pope's Exorcist out of the way, let's talk about our next movie. Next week, we will be riding our Lambretta scooters all the way from the Vatican to New York City. That's right. We are watching the 2021 action thriller, New York Ninja. Now, let me just correct that. New York Ninja was actually shot in 1984, but wasn't edited or released until 2021, when its footage was discovered by the home video distributor Vinegar Syndrome. The movie's plot revolves around a sound technician for a news station who becomes a vigilante ninja in New York City. Don't make me say it again. The reason why? His pregnant wife is murdered. Anyway, Rotten Tomatoes gives this film a 96% score on the tomato meter. Lee Jutton of Film Inquiry writes, "This is a must-see for anyone who loves outrageous old action flicks and who appreciates the labor of love that is film preservation." Now let's listen to the trailer for New York Ninja.
Abductions of young women are still being reported. Another woman with mysterious radiation burns has been discovered.
We're gonna have a baby.
Oh my God.
I can't believe that John's wife was murdered.
There's something weighing us down. It's that damn ninja.
New York Ninja's a real hero.
People, I love this one. It was so damn good. Avril Haley just picking winners every single time. People, that is it for our episode. Remember to rate and review the show. It helps. And if you listen on Apple Podcasts, make sure you are following us. Visit us on social media, hdtgm.com. And a big thank you to our producers, Scott, Sonny, Molly Reynolds, our movie picking producer, Avril Haley, our engineers, Casey Holford and Rich Garcia, and Jess Cisneros, who makes our amazing social media videos. We will see you next week for New York Ninja!
Hot off the press from Maybelline, New York, it's new Lifter Plump, an intense plumping lip gloss formulated with chili pepper to deliver a heated sensation for an instant plumping effect that lasts. From 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Red Flag, Hot Honey, Cocoa Zing, and more. An extra-large wand applicator transforms lips in one swipe. Learn more at Maybelline.com. For a limited time, get 10% off your Lifter Plump purchase on Amazon with code 10PLUMP.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.